Have you ever heard the term rational beings? Rational beings. Have you heard of that term? Yes, no? I see my wife shaking her head. And it wasn't just because I said it, correct? Humans are rational beings in that... Maybe I can stand a little over this way and not make you crick your neck so much. But humans are rational beings in that we don't do everything just on instinct. We reason. We use logic. Now, you can overthink things. Matter of fact, I'll just slide it this way. You can overthink things. That can be an issue. But being called a rational being is actually a compliment, isn't it? I mean, as a whole, think about it, work especially around dangerous machinery. In most cases, you want somebody who will engage their brain before they will speak or act. It is more of a compliment. If not, if you don't want that, then just go on social media, right? Exactly. See, I got Deb to laugh because she understands it. Now, although being called a rational being is a compliment, every ability we have can have a dark side too, can't it? For instance, my Max Dictionary defines rational as based on or in accordance with reason or logic. Based on or in accordance with reason or logic. And that's pretty good. You want to be logical, don't you, Trinity? You want to use reason? Just haven't quite figured me out yet, right? I don't blame you. First time. But it defines rationalize. So we're not talking about rational now. We're talking about rationalize. The verb as attempt to explain or justify, now this is in parentheses, one's or another's behavior or attitude with logical, plausible reasons, even if these are not true or appropriate. Even if these are not true or appropriate. And doesn't that sound a lot like the definition of excuse? This is the MAC definition of excuse. A reason or an explanation put forward to defend or justify a fault or offense. Excuse and rationalize seem to have a lot in common, except there are three things that I think of when I think of rationalize that I think make it a bit different. Number one, rationalization is often before you do something, whereas an excuse is after, isn't it? Don't you often rationalize before you do something, whereas an excuse you offer after? Number two, rationalization is more specific in that it is using logic and reason to excuse something, just like a square is a more specific type of rectangle, correct? I was about to say triangle. It's not a triangle. But a square is a more specific type of rectangle, just like rationalization, because it depends on logic and reason, is a more specific type of excuse. And then third, rationalization has a more negative connotation. An excuse can be legitimate. You don't mind me mentioning the thing about the rotating excuses? So sometimes Michelle will do something, I don't understand why. And then she has what I call the rotating excuses. She'll have her first excuse, and I'll say, but that can't be true because of this. And then she'll have her second excuse and third. Usually by the third excuse, you've got a good one, right? But in fairness to her, that's because she's not as comfortable as I am to being called quickly on something. So it's the first thing that comes to mind, but she actually did have a legitimate reason for it, an excuse. Just because it's an excuse doesn't mean it's bad, right? But let me ask you this. If you say somebody is rationalizing, do you mean it in a positive way? I can't think of a single time that I've used that term and actually meant it in a positive way. Whereas an excuse can be fine. It's okay. If the dog really did eat your homework, that's all right, as long as you didn't put, you know, their favorite food on it and feed it to them, right? But rationalization, it is making an excuse for something that you know you shouldn't do. That's what rationalization is. Which leads us, of all things, to Israel's first king. Does anybody remember Israel's first king's name? Saul. Very good. Let's turn. 1 Samuel. And if you are following the Bible reading this year, You would have read this past week is why I ran into it, and where I'm getting a lot of good sermon ideas, because you read something, it's like, man, that seems to fit this. So 1 Samuel, we're going to look at chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. 1 Samuel, chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. I agree. Are we there? Okay. He would be Samuel, not Samuel, Saul. He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. Things are starting to look bad for Saul. So Saul said, "Bring the burnt offering here to me and the peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, guess who shows up? Samuel. Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, 'Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I will not have sought the favor of the Lord.' So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." He forced himself because he didn't really want to do it. "And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you.' And Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal. The rest of the people went up after Saul to meet the army. They went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin." Okay. Do you remember my Max Dictionary of rationalizing? Based on that, do you think Saul was rationalizing? Did it sound like he was rationalizing? Most of my rhetorical questions are yes, so it's pretty safe to say yes, right? Yes, he was using logic and reason to excuse, to make an excuse. By the way, if we use the term make an excuse, then generally it's like rationalizing, probably not positive. He was making an excuse for doing something contrary to what the Lord had commanded. Saul was being a rational being because he was using reason and logic, those abilities. But instead of doing that, using the logic and using the reason to conclude in God's favor, what did he do? He used it to fulfill the desires of his own heart instead of the desires of God's heart. And how did the Lord react through his prophet Samuel? Pretty harshly. Pretty harshly. Saul's family would not continue on the throne. Instead, it would be replaced by a man after God's own heart. You kids know who the man after God's own heart was? Yep. All of them are paying more attention to something else. Does anybody here know who the man after God's own heart was? David, exactly. Mom does too. Sure, King Saul had used logic and reason. Samuel was delayed. The people were scattering. The Philistines were there to attack. He had to do what he had to do to get the people to stop abandoning him. But heading back to my Max definition of rationalize, attempt to explain or justify one's own or another's behavior or attitude with logical, plausible reasons, even if these are not true or appropriate. Do you remember that part? Even if these are not true or appropriate? Samuel was late. The people were scattering. The Philistines were ready to attack. So it actually was true. Everything Saul said was true, was it not? But was it appropriate? No. Deb shakes her head no, and Deb's right. A truly reasoning A truly reasoning, a truly logical person knows that even if there are a zillion excuses, even if there are a zillion excuses, God says always wins out. Even if there are a zillion excuses, God says always wins out. God knows all. God's logic, unlike ours, is perfect. You never have a good reason or a logical reason to do something different than God commands. And if you think you do, you are rationalizing. No question about it. God says this, and you make up a whole bunch of reasons for that, you are rationalizing. And I often said, I don't know if you guys heard it, but I've often said I think we humans have perfected rationalizing. We've got it down to a science. I know myself, I have a horrible history of it. Things where I gave myself all those excuses, did something I knew better, and then regretted it afterward. And you know, is it any wonder, given our original parents, is it any wonder? To see what I mean, let's go back to the Garden of Eden. We're going to go look at our mother, our first mother. And so let's turn to, it's going to be chapter 3 in Genesis. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 4. Over there. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, actually we're reading through verse 6, I'll have to update this. "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, and she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." And he ate. Okay, don't close your Bibles. We're going to go back there in a second. So, did Eve use logic? Yeah. Deb shakes her head, yes. Yes, she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise. Those all sound good, don't they? Anything horrible in what she just said? Is it good for food? Yes. Do you think the tree that God made perfect in the Garden of Eden was a delight to the eyes? Probably. Is wisdom good to have? Is it good to have wisdom? Yeah. All logical, rational reasons to eat from the tree. Except for one thing, which was God said not to. God said not to. And let me ask you this. Has history proved God 100% right? Yes, exactly. History has proved God 100% right. If you think of the immediate pain, misery, and death that followed from Eve's rationalization and the immeasurable pain after that, all over a yummy, delightful, desirable piece of fruit eaten for the great cause of becoming wiser, you know God was right. Eve was using reason and logic. But she ignored reason and logic's trump card, which is you never have a good reason or a logical reason to do something different than God commands. Of course, let's not leave Eve in the doghouse alone. Did Adam do anything wrong? Do you remember? It's okay. Well, let's take a look. After our Lord calls them out for their sin, what does her hubby Adam say? Let's check it out. We're going to look at verses 8 through 12. Verses 8 through 12, chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. So we just had, well, we skipped 7. So, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." God, says he said, "Who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you gave me, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Question again, was Adam just using logic and reason? Yeah, he was. I mean, God did create Eve as a helpmate. And the woman God gave him helped him eat the forbidden fruit. Adam rationalized all the way to blaming God for Adam's own transgression. Now, you've got to admit, that's chutzpah, to go ahead and blame God for what you did. It seems to me, kind of in line with what I said before, that Adam perfected rationalizing right away, immediately, just like that, and he gave it to all of us, his offspring, from that point forward. Gave it to all of us, his offspring, from that point forward. Okay, we didn't go in order, but we've seen a couple biblical cases of rationalization. It was Saul and in the garden. We're going to discuss one more. Let's turn to Matthew 26, 14 through 16. Matthew 26, 14 through 16. When you get towards the end of a gospel, you know it's not going to be good. Matthew 26, 14 through 16. Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now, it doesn't mention his name, but who is he going to betray? Jesus, exactly, Jesus. Now, we do not know in Scripture why Judas betrayed Jesus. However, one of the excuses I've heard is that Judas did it. This was posited, that Judas did it to try to force Christ to take his earthly kingdom. They think Christ was going to have an earthly kingdom. Judas figures, well, if I force him to make a decision, he'll bring the angels or whatever, and he'll get his kingdom. Who knows? Maybe instead it was because Judas convinced himself that Jesus was a fraud. Or perhaps, like the high priest Caiaphas, thought it was better for one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. Maybe that's why he did it. But whatever Judas's reasoning or logic was, it wasn't instinct, it was reasoning or logic. Whatever Judas's reasoning or logic was, it had to be quite a feat of rationalization after hearing what Jesus said, after seeing Jesus' miracles, after witnessing, remember this, he saw this too, after witnessing the sinless Lamb of God heal people both physically and spiritually, after Jesus did all that, to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. That had to be the most amazing feat of rationalization. Yet if you think about it, you and I have even more evidence that Jesus is the Son of God and that the Father is always right when it conflicts with what we want than Judas did. Don't we? He only had the Old Testament and what he saw, but we have the New Testament, which includes the four Gospels about what he saw. History, beyond when a regretful Judas hanged himself, and much, much more. He didn't have that. We have it. Yet, you and I still rationalize ourselves into sin constantly, don't we? Recently, during one of the adult Bible studies, Deb, we discussed these words from James. I'll save you guys time. I'll make you look them up. But don't they almost sound like, these words sound like a biblical definition of rationalization? This is James 1, 13 through 14. James 1, 13 through 15. James 1, 13 through 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth, what do you think it brings forth? Death. Death. Saul's worried rationalization gave birth to an unauthorized sacrifice. Eve's distrusting God rationalization gave birth to the fall of all men. Judas's greedy rationalization gave birth to the crucifixion of the sinless Son of God. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth what? Death. We never have good reason or a logical reason to do something different than God commands. And even though we have all their histories and so many myriad more in the pages of Scripture to remind us of the dangers of rationalization, raise your hand if you've done it or if you still do it. I'll raise my hand the highest. I am guilty of it. Dummies, we all are. So what is the cure? What is the cure for the horrible disease of rationalizing that we all have? What is the cure? Ultimately, it will be that new body and the new nature that we'll get when Jesus returns. That's the ultimate cure. But until then, I can suggest that we memorize one verse from Proverbs. Let's turn there. Proverbs 14:12. And I didn't write it down, but this actually word for word happens a second time in Proverbs. Proverbs 14:12. There. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. If it seems right to you, but the only way you can reach that conclusion is by rationalizing, then its way probably leads to death. In these 66 books, we have more wisdom than Eve got from the delightful fruit. And the more you have to spend time reasoning, the more you have to use logic to explain why something that appears to conflict with it, the 66 books, is okay, the more likely you are rationalizing. And you are being lured and enticed by your own desire, a desire that will give birth to sin. And when that sin is fully grown, it brings forth death, because there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And it always leads to death. Always. We just have one choice to make. Will it be our eternal death that it results in? Or does the willing death of the sinless Son of God on the cross cover our sinful rationalizations? Let me repeat that. We have a big choice to make. Will it be this rationalization lead to our eternal death? Or does the willing death of our sinless Son of God on the cross cover our sinful rationalizations? I would suggest, in our country, we are surrounded by Christians whose whole lives are probably rationalizations. Their entire lives. Their theology allows them to do whatever they want, watch whatever they want, drink whatever they want, say whatever they want. Let this not be us. Let that not be us. Let's make the right choice. Let's stop rationalizing and trust the sinless Son of God who died on the cross.